am. Thank you for listening to Johnson Temple Church of God in Christ.
Tell somebody, say, you stand.
This is KAYT, Gina, Alexandria. This is Gospel Radio at its very best. 88.1. KAYT, praising the Lord.
Let me hear the worshipers.
You're listening to the radio broadcast of the Mount Zion Missionary Baptist Church, 720 Millrace Road, Boyce, Louisiana, Pastor Joseph W. Franklin. Sunday school every Sunday morning at 9:45 a.m., worship and the word at 11 a.m., and on third Sunday, the Lord's Supper is observed. Wednesday night, prayer meeting Bible study at 6 p.m., and at 7 p.m., choir rehearsal. You can visit us on the web at www.mounttriumphmbc.com. God bless you.
Sing hallelujah. Sing hallelujah to our God.
Bless his name. For the rest of my life, I'll serve the Lord. What commitment that is. Amen. To serve the Lord when he's done something for you. And if he's done something to you,
yes, sir. Yes, sir.
And if he's done something through you, you ought to serve him. Come on, somebody. That's what keeps you coming week after week. Amen. That's what keeps you doing what you do in the week, serving the Lord, because we know we enter here to worship, but the true service takes place beyond these four walls. I wish I had a believer. We are the salt of the earth, and we are the light of the world. We're letting our light so shine, men will see our good works, and we'll glorify our Father, which is in heaven. Amen. Amen.
Watch out, watch out.
Won't let Russell have his way.
Yes,
thank you. bread to bread. For your word say your word will not return unto you void, but it will accomplish that which you sent it out. And so now, Lord, for the purpose for which you brought us here, and for this preaching moment, have your way, Lord. Have your way. But thou art truly the potter, and I'm just the clay. Make me and mold me after your will. While I'm waiting, yielded and still, careful to give you the glory. We'll give you the honor, and we'll give you all the praise. In the precious name of Jesus, that name that is above every name, that in his name every knee shall bow, and every tongue confess that Jesus is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. In his name we pray. Amen. Thank God. And amen. You have your copy of God's word, whether it be by the literal book or by your cell phone Bible, turn with me to Luke's Gospel chapter 9, beginning at verse 51. Amen. Luke's Gospel chapter 9, beginning at verse 51. We're making our way, and I want to thank Brother Trotty. Amen. Thank you, brother, for volunteering and coming. Amen. What a joy it was. He just came on. Amen. He came on into the house of praying, got on in the choir. His wife is still sitting back there, his daughter. But he got right on in. Thank you for your spirit, brother. Amen. We're one big family. There's enough room for everybody in the house of God. Luke chapter 9, verse 51 through 56, for our hearing. Now it came to pass, when the time had come for him to be received up, he steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem, and sent messengers before his face. And as they went, they entered a village of the Samaritans to prepare for him. But they did not receive him, because his face was set for the journey to Jerusalem. And when his disciples, James and John, saw this, they said, Lord, do you want us to command fire to come down from heaven and consume them just as Elijah did? But he turned and rebuked them and said, you do not know what manner of spirit you are of. For the Son of Man did not come to destroy men alive, but to save them. And they went to another village. The grass withered, the flower fade, but the word of our God shall stand forever. I want to talk about the journey to Jerusalem. Amen. We are at least 43 days from Easter Sunday morning, or Resurrection Sunday. As we see around our surroundings that the Mardi Gras festives and seasons are all around. There is to get out all your partying and your drinking and all those vices that you have until after Easter and Resurrection. And that's been the thing in our communities out of New Orleans, and now it's made its way here to Central Louisiana. But I come to tell you that the Eastertide season is more than about partying like it's until like it's 1999. When it's about the death of our Lord and Savior, who died for our sins. Have we got a witness? And so it is befitting for us to be even at this place in these texts talking about Jesus' journey to Jerusalem. As a matter of fact, we understood and understand that it seems like with Jesus stopping over to Samaria, it seems like the Samaritans would gladly receive Jesus Christ. Matter of fact, after all of the events and the miracles that he had wrought up to this point, when they heard about his coming, they ought to have been shouting for joy. But instead, they chose to reject the Savior of men. So often, we miss opportunities, help me somebody, because of what the world is doing. We miss, and they miss opportunity for their own religious prejudice and their religious pride. They miss the Savior of men. They even had an opportunity for the Savior to come into their village, but because of their prejudice and their own pride, they wouldn't let Jesus come in. Can I tell you, we still live in a time where men and women are so caught up into doing their own thing that they miss the opportunity for eternal life. It's amazing how week after week, the gospel is proclaimed that Christ is the Savior and have died for our sins, and that you don't have to go to hell. You can go to heaven by virtue of your choosing the Master as Lord and Savior of your life. But you know, men and women, boys and girls, refuse to hear that message. Matter of fact, that message goes out not only from the pulpit of the Mount Triumph Church at 720 Millrace Road, but throughout this community and throughout the world, by way of the preached word, by way of television, by way of radio, by way of missionaries, and people day in and day out reject the word of God. They refuse to accept Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. A lot of people today are caught up in religion and not a relationship. A lot of people are looking at religion as the way to God. But I come to tell us today, and many of you already know, that Jesus say, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man come to the Father but by me. You can't climb over the fence. You can't go under the fence. Or you can't go under the wall. You can't climb over the wall. You can't go around the wall. You got to come in through the door. And so we hear the theme, Brother Valiant, that sticks with us throughout these texts and in Luke's gospel, chapter 19 and 10, for the Son of Man came to seek and to save that which was lost. Well, as I hurry to a close, you'll see, first of all, the return of the Savior to heaven. Because Luke opens up with this return by telling us that it came to pass, that it happened. It was a plan of God for Jesus to come, die on a cross, and then return from which he came. Oh yes, the hour was approaching, the time was approaching for his ascension back to the Father. He was going back where he came from. And you remember that even in Acts, Luke expanded it by saying that after his passion, that he showed himself alive. And then in chapter 1, as Jesus was born in the cloud, the angel spoke to the disciples and said, "Why stand ye gazing into heaven?" This same Jesus whom you see going up, one of these old days, he's coming back. Can I tell you, Mount Zion, there was a great expectation in those days for the Messiah to come, and many in Israel were looking for his coming, but they thought that he was going to occupy and rule on earth at the first of his coming. But we come to understand that Jesus didn't come at that time for that purpose. But he came for the purpose of dying on an old rugged cross. But I do need you to be reminded that one of these old days, he is going to come. Again, he'll come for his church and we'll be caught up. Help me, somebody. The dead in Christ will rise first, and those who are yet alive will be caught up. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. And then I need to tell you that after a 7-year period of the tribulation, he'll come again and set up his millennial reign for 1,000 years. And then we'll move to the eternal state where we'll ever be with the Lord. Can I tell you that God has it all worked out? That it's all in the plan and the purposes of God. That God is still working. I know some of you, as we live in this world that we live in, some of you think that the things that are going on have no relevance to our lives. But can I tell you, time is winding up. It's later than you think it is. And the return of the Lord is closer than you think it is. I heard Brother Smith allude to that this morning. Not only do we see here in verse 51 when he talks about that he was getting ready for his return, but then you need to also see something in the text. You need to see the resolve of the Savior. Because here in verse 51, it tells you that he was steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem. You know, he wasn't looking back. He wasn't trying to go back, Brother Fontenot. But Jesus was focused and fixed on his destiny and his date with destiny in Jerusalem. Boy, that tells us something, brothers and sisters. It's good to be steadfast. We need steadfast Christians in these days, because you know what? A little bit of anything will shake us these days. Oh yes, I know everybody, we're talking about Trump these days, what's going on, and what's going on in our day and time, and a little bit of that will shake us. And then I know some of us may be upset. We didn't get the refunds we thought that we were going to get back from our taxes. Help me, somebody. And everybody wondering, why I didn't get back the money I got back? Don't worry about that. As a believer, know that God is going to take care of you. We soon take our eyes off of him and put it on man. Jesus showed us something, Sister Linda, that we need to be determined and we need to be fixed and we need to be focused on the Lord. He was going to face his destiny and date with destiny no matter what. Jerusalem was the destined place where the Savior would suffer and be rejected and even be humiliated and be crucified. Yet he knew something else, that on the third day he was going to rise. Oh, brothers and sisters, I don't know how long your suffering will be. I don't know how long and how much you'll have to endure. But isn't it good to know that you might have a Friday in your life right now? But if you just hold on, was steadfastly fixed. He was settled on going to Jerusalem. He was not kicking and screaming. He was ready to go to that place. Matter of fact, throughout the gospel, Jesus rehearsed what was going on in his life. He told us, and we preached about it, that the Son of Man would be rejected by men. He would be crucified. But he said something else. He said on the third day, he was going to rise. We need to resolve like that. We need to persevere in spite of our pain. Somebody came in here today. You need to be steadfast. You need to keep yourself. He was steadfast. He was focused. He was fixed on the things ahead. You need determination. You need to be determined to go forward. Don't let nothing and nobody turn you around. Not only do we see the resolve of the Savior, the return of the Savior back to heaven to the Father, but we also see the representative of the Savior. Because Jesus was so fixed and steadfastly firm on going to Jerusalem that he sent some messengers, some representatives, help me somebody, in his stead to make preparation for what he was about to endure. Oh yes, he sent responsible individuals to go out and to acquire some lodging for himself, but he sent them into Samaria. Now we know that the Samaritans and the Jews, according to chapter 4 of John's gospel, had no dealings with one another. Matter of fact, Brother Mitchell, in the history, we'll understand that when the Assyrians came to bring the best of Israel and into captivity and the brightest, that they also sent these Samaritans to mix breed and to marry with those who were weak and remain behind. And as a result of it, they came up with their own religion. Matter of fact, the woman at the well told Jesus, you know, it's on Mount Gershom that we stop and worship God. And Jesus got on straight and says, neither on Mount Gershom or this mountain, but man will worship God in spirit and in truth. Oh, I wish I had a believer here. And so that was a great divide. That was a great dispute between the Jews. Matter of fact, instead of going into Samaria, they would go around Samaria and go up to Jerusalem. They bypassed. But in this instance, Jesus said, we're going through Samaria. Good God Almighty. He was determined to break down the barriers that they had in their religious prejudice and their religious pride. Many, even the Jews, felt that if they went through Samaria, that they would defile themselves before they got to the temple and their feast. But Jesus said, I need you as messengers to go through. I need you to make ready. And matter of fact, in John chapter 4, in verse 4, he said, I must need go through Samaria. The reason why I had to go there and go through, there was a woman there who had five husbands, and the one she had wasn't her own. And Jesus had to witness to that person and talk about water to get her to understand that he could offer her living water. Yes, sir. And so here he sends out his representatives to go through Samaria. He breaks down the barriers and doesn't let that barrier hinder him from going through and getting to Jerusalem. Set out for their arrangement to go there. The text tells us these messengers went before his face, and as they went, they entered a village of Samaritans to prepare for him. And so not only do we see Jesus, the Savior's resolve, and the representatives who went out for him, but then we see, Brother Tiwee, the rejection of the Savior by the Samaritans. Matter of fact, when they got there, the text opens, but they did not receive him. And can I tell you, that's an indictment, not only on the Samaritans, but that's an indictment upon everyone who turns aside and refuses to accept Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. Can I tell you, from that point on, when you reject the Savior, you have no other hope of saving. Don't y'all get quiet on me. When you reject him as he comes and offers, and you turn your back on him, there's nobody else, there's nothing else that can save you. They rejected again the Savior of men. They rejected the point that God had brought him through Samaria, and this could have been a saving moment for their lives. He was on his way to Calvary, but the text says they refused. They let again their religious pride. They let again their religious religion put them in, and prejudice refuse the Savior. I want to tell you this morning, this afternoon, don't let nothing keep you or hinder you from Jesus. Don't let nobody stop you or get in your way. You know, a lot of times folk are on their way to the Lord, and sometimes church folk can help me somebody, can be a hindrance. Can I tell you, eternity is too long and hell is too hot to reject the Savior of men. So here, they refuse Jesus because his face was set for the journey to Jerusalem. He had made up in his mind that he wasn't going to turn around. He had made up in his mind that he was going to do the will of the Father. And it did not matter what he had to go through. And I need to talk to somebody right here who has gone through rejection. Can I tell you, so often your moments of rejections are only your setups for your comebacks. That sometimes when you are rejected, that God has even something greater, yes, in focus. And so don't let the rejection turn you around. But you gotta be determined to go on anyhow. Sometimes even friends will whisper in your ears. But you've got to be dog determined that you're going on anyhow. You see, I learned that I'm not in this race to please man. But I'm running that my Lord will be pleased. And sometimes it will take rejection. To keep me steadfast. Sometimes it will take difficulties to keep me dog determined to run on anyhow. Because I'm not looking for man's applause, but I'm looking for the Lord to say, well,